From WUOT News, this is The Method, a series exploring the intersection of science and society. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth. In a few moments, we'll meet an Oak Ridge researcher working to tame the problem of bacterial resistance. But first, this week's rain was not enough to reverse the effects of a long drought in the Tennessee River Basin. James Everett monitors river levels for the TVA. His job, as you can imagine, is only getting tougher as the drought lingers. WUOT's Megan Jamerson checks in with Everett to see how TVA is keeping an eye on water levels.
With a simple turn of a handle, water flows for us to drink, cook, and feed our thirsty gardens. Behind the scenes, there's a group of engineers whose job it is to make sure we don't have to worry about that tap suddenly running dry.
4.5 million people get their drinking water from the Tennessee River, and we want to ensure people have a good supply of water.
That's James Everett, manager at the Tennessee Valley Authority's River Forecast Center. It's a command center staffed 24/7 with engineers and analysts. Their job is to know how much water is in the Tennessee River system at any given moment. They also maintain water levels in storage and schedule releases from storage to minimize the effects of unpredictable weather.
We are really at Mother Nature's mercy in terms of how much water we have to deal with. Nothing's routine, so what's interesting is there's always some sort of anomaly. It might be air temperature, rainfall, snowfall.
TVA's goals include keeping river levels high enough for commercial barges that deliver goods over the 652-mile stretch of the Tennessee River, and they support ecosystems near the agency's dams. The infrastructure to support those goals began 80 years ago.
We began forecasting and operating and managing the Tennessee River system back when we closed North Dam back in 1936. That forecast, that operation has just been evolving ever since then.
Everett says what used to require teams of people on the ground collecting data by hand,
it's now done primarily by automated systems. What used to take hours and maybe a full day to produce a model to simulate releases, to ingest this information and make decisions, we can now do in a matter of seconds with very advanced models and high computing power.
As Everett explains this, we sit in front of a screen that fills an entire wall of the forecast center. All the desks in the room face this monitor. It includes live weather service updates, a color-coded map of the watershed displaying levels in the rivers and tributaries, and readouts of the power being generated at 29 TVA-operated hydroelectric dams. Because the information is live, the screen changes, lights blink, and numbers flip.
At any moment's notice, we know precisely how much water is in our reservoir. We know precisely how much flow is being released from the dams. And we also have access to a lot of rainfall and inflow data. So every few hours, we can reevaluate what inflows are doing. You know, is our river stages rising or falling? How much rainfall have we recorded?
In the current drought, the job of monitoring and maintaining water levels is even more important. Everett says TVA's obligation to provide water doesn't change. The utility is looking forward to the winter months that historically have more rain.
We get a lot of questions about rainfall dances, so I'm sure that the dancing will commence once we finally do get some rainfall.
For The Method, I'm Megan Jamerson.
Antibiotic resistance is a serious problem in healthcare. The CDC estimates 2 million Americans develop infections from antibiotic-resistant bacteria every year, leading to illnesses including MRSA, tuberculosis, and strep. A team of researchers is now using the power of the Oak Ridge National Lab Titan supercomputer to find ways to beat bacteria at their own game, curbing the problem of antibiotic resistance. Jeremy Smith is part of that team.
The computer modeling carried out here at Oak Ridge National Lab focused on one of the ways that bacteria can develop a resistance to antibiotics, the efflux pumps, that basically, if I understand this correctly, take the antibiotic and kind of throw it back out of the cell so it never even has a chance to work. Is that about right?
That's absolutely right. You see, you have influx when things come in, like people into the stadium before the Vols have won, and then efflux would be if they're thrown out of the stadium because people don't want them to see the Vols playing. That's efflux.
There you go. And so this research focuses on special kinds of molecules that might be able to stop that throwing out process, that efflux process. What did you find out about those kinds of molecules that would inhibit the activity of those pumps?
Well, yeah, we wanted to stop the bacteria from throwing out antibiotics. The efflux pump exists to get rid of molecules in the bacteria that the bacteria do not want, and amongst those are antibiotics. You know, as soon as an antibiotic finds itself in the bacterial cell, the bacteria says, oh no, you are especially one of the molecules we don't want, so it'll throw it out via these efflux pumps. And so we wanted to stop that. And the way we wanted to stop it was by throwing a spanner in the works, as we say in Britain, and stopping the efflux pumps from actually assembling in the first place.
How accurately does the Titan supercomputer reflect the actual observed behavior of the molecules and the bacteria that you're trying to model? How closely do those match up?
The answer is it does better than random. It helps, but it's not 100% accurate. It's got three bits, the pump, that needs to be stuck together in the right way. The bacterium needs to stick it together in the right way. So to do that, we needed something equivalent to finding a key to go in a lock. The lock would be the assembly point of the pump, and the key would be some small molecule chemical that would fit in there and stop it from actually sticking together. Yeah? Mm-hmm. We then wanted to find a key that had the right shape, basically, to fit in there. And that's what the Titan does. It goes through millions of different keys at the same time to see which ones would fit.
One of the great missteps I see in medical reporting is when journalists seize on every development as a game changer or try to posit every finding as a potential breakthrough. So I don't want to make that mistake, obviously, in this interview. What does the computer modeling that you're carrying out here and with your colleagues at other research institutions mean in real terms for the people who are investigating the bacterial resistance?
Computational science, it allows us to do calculations, but with much more realistic detail in there, that look much more like the actual bacterium would. However, it's not completely accurate, and the best we can do is help experimentalists, point them in the right direction. They have to do the final tests to see if things work or not.
To actually check to see if
yeah.
the key is going to fit into the
yeah,
lock.
That's yeah. right.
What is the next stage?
Well, we found a few keys now that work, and what they do is the word is potentiate. And these chemicals potentiate antibiotics. So antibiotics that did not work in the bacterium, you put in this second molecule, the one that stops the pump assembling, and now they start working. So the idea now is we want to find a lot more keys, and that will give us a lot of chemicals to start with in the process along the pipeline to getting an FDA-approved drug.
Which is still a long way off, I would imagine.
Difficult to know how far off it is. Could be.
That does it for The Method. Check out our full archive on iTunes U. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth.